Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Teresa Walker from the Associated Press. Teresa, what's going on? How are we doing?
Well, we're doing pretty good. I mean, considering it's a Wednesday and we're covering a team that's, having a fun start to the season.
I would say so. 8-2, and they just keep trucking right along. What's been your impression of the way the Titans have handled things thus far without Derrick Henry? Obviously, it's been a little bit more of a struggle offensively, both without Derrick Henry and the combination of the defenses they played against the last couple of weeks. But overall, what have you made of the way they've handled things without number 22?
Well, the fact of the matter is the defense has really helped them kind of come through these last 2 weeks, but that's okay. I mean, anybody expecting them to be able to pop Adrian Peterson in and Deontay Foreman and just keep things going is ignoring the fact that these guys are fresh and they're running behind the line that, you know, let's be honest, you know, it's been a revolving door, you know, the way the guys have gone, on and off the field and in and out of games. You know, from Taylor Lewan to Nate Davis, and I mean, shoot, David Quisenberry has been the healthiest guy, it seems, on that line, but everybody else has had their moments, and, you know, so you're trying to get rhythm going with new, fresh running backs. It's not going to happen immediately, so, and it feels like game times are probably their best chances to work on that timing and chemistry and rhythm, and, you know, Ryan Tannehill has been the guy kind of keeping things moving and helping this offense score some points. But let's face it, you know, the short field the defense gave them in L.A. early in that game, and then the special teams giving them the turnover in the third quarter on Sunday against the Saints, they've needed the help. And, you know, the good thing is now they've got the Houston Texans coming on Sunday, you would hope, another opportunity to, you know, maybe fine-tune some of that chemistry.
Yeah, so we were talking earlier, Teresa, about the, you know, this game is the play down game, I guess, for the Titans, and we've seen them do it once this year, of course. I mean, the Titans could win every game the rest of the way and hold up the Lombardi, and they'd still be like in parentheses, they lost to the Jets, you know, like it's just tagged to them. But what do you think about that? Like, they obviously, under Mike Vrabel, rise up. I mean, they rise up to great teams, to big games, but also rise up when it looks like they're in serious trouble because this person or that person is out. What about the, like, is there a concern level, a fair concern level this week, or are the Texans just too bad for that to even be a thing?
Well, Joe, would think that the gap between the Texans and Titans is big enough that they could go out and do what they need to do. But it is the NFL, and if anything, over the last 2 weeks, we've seen, you know, teams below 500 rise up. And, I mean, shoot, look at the Miami Dolphins last Thursday night against the Ravens. So, you know, if I'm Mike Vrabel, I'm reminding my Titans, I'm you know, put the Jets, you know, put the name of the Jets up around the building this week, right? You know, don't do that should be maybe the Met lesson, because this is an opportunity for them to prove how much this team has grown. To make sure that doesn't happen. It felt like last Sunday was kind of following that Jet script, right? You know, settling for too many field goals, not scoring enough touchdowns, but the defense making the plays that they had to have in that fourth quarter to make it stand up. But, you know, you can't give a team hope. You know, and the Texans, they're struggling. It's miserable. You know, having covered, you know, the Titan seasons when it was 5-27 over 2 years, you know, they want to take out that pain on somebody else. So, you know, it shouldn't be too tough to remind these guys to stay on point. Don't take them for granted because, and you know, hey, maybe it helps that whole underdog thing that they do seem to grab onto and ride so well with the chip on their shoulder. Guess what? Even though they're high in a lot of NFL power rankings, you know, the people that are looking at the AFC, they see the Bills, they see the Chiefs as the teams ahead of the Titans as Super Bowl contenders. So, you know, the Titans still have plenty to prove. Maybe that can be the motivating push that they need.
Teresa Walker from the Associated Press on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Teresa, obviously Julio Jones goes to the IR, and we'll see whether or not his hamstring can heal up at the end of that stint. How much of a believer are you still in Julio Jones ultimately being a big factor in this offense, or have the injuries with the hamstring become to a point where you'll just believe it when you see it at this point?
Well, it's kind of a mix, Robbie, because I will believe it when I see it, because, you know, every time we think he's about to get going, I mean, he had a great game. I'm losing count, but he wasn't on the injury report last Wednesday. And you're thinking, okay, he's turned a corner, and then, oops, on Thursday, he appeared to aggravate it, and then he's on IR a couple of days later. But let's be honest, you would hope that when they made the trade, giving up a second-round pick next year for Julio Jones, that you'd have a guy who's close to being at least your number two wide receiver. And he's had a couple moments, but he's only had the one 100-yard receiving game back in Seattle on a day that A.J. Brown struggled mightily. And, this is a guy that, if you can get him on the field and he can catch four passes like he did against the Rams, that might be what you get out of him once he is back. Now, the timing of this IR move, it's pretty good. He has to miss three games. That takes him to the bye, and then he has the bye. So that's a full month to get ready, and then you come back and it's Jaguars, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, Miami, and Houston, and that's how you finish the season. So, but let's be honest, the balls he was brought in to catch are in January, hopefully getting them to February to that game back in L.A., and if they can get that out of him, they will have gotten everything that they probably truly hoped for, because that's what they made the move for, in my humble opinion.
Okay, I'm going to throw this hypothetical at you that I just threw at Robbie and Michelle.
Oh, boy.
So let's say you could have the bye and everyone but Derrick Henry available, or you plummet to the seven. You'd have to win three road games to get to L.A., and no Julio Jones, but you would have Derrick Henry in some capacity. What would you choose?
Ooh, that's a good one, because I've seen this team lose having had the bye twice, 2000 and 2008. I'll just say this. Even having Derrick Henry, we saw in January 2020, Joe, just how tough it is to go on the road that many times. And you say three times, it'll be four, because the final game of the regular season is in Houston again. So you're talking four straight road games to try to get back to L.A.,
but it's still 22.
See, you're going to need 22. I'm going to throw another hypothetical at you. You do get the bye, and then after the bye, you do have Derrick Henry, and you maybe have Julio Jones. Maybe get greedy in this situation.
That's right.
That's best case scenario, right?
I like that. Teresa, last thing for you here. As you look at this defense, obviously with the pass rush being the way or playing the way that they played the last few weeks, John Robinson going to have a tough decision from a salary cap standpoint coming up with Harold Landry. You're already paying Bud Dupree. Obviously, Taylor Lewan owed a lot of money last year as well. How much of a priority should Harold Landry be for John Robinson and the Titans based on the way that he's played so far this year?
Pretty high. I mean, guys, you look at the sack standings. There's only three teams in the NFL that have more sacks than the Tennessee Titans right now, and Harold Landry and Jeffrey Simmons are big part of that. You've been searching for pass rush help the last few years, and now you've got two guys that you drafted who are coming through in the pinch. This is where, let's face it, John Robinson and the Titans are going to have some tough decisions this offseason, because, you look at a Taylor Lewan, and he told us last week that he's not, there's no one on this roster who's indispensable, and, he's been a guy who's been in and out of the lineup. And, while his value is seen, he comes out of the lineup for one snap Sunday to get some fluid, and, oops, Kendall Land gives up a sack, and that ends a drive. So, but guess what? They've been searching. It'd be real tough to let those guys disappear and get off the market. So there's going to be some interesting and challenging roster decisions to be made in March.
Teresa, your opinion on Ben Affleck as an actor. Joe Rexroad's totally disgusted by him. Your thoughts?
Man, I'm not sold on him much either. He sure looks pretty.
There we go. Teresa knows good acting and bad acting.
That's
what
I'm talking about. Teresa Walker from the Associated Press has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexo. Teresa, thanks so much for taking time to join us.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Teresa.
She's the GOAT.
That's right.
What would you have done if Teresa Walker, who might legitimately be an angel walking amongst us, said that she loves Ben Affleck as an actor?
I mean, it would have hurt, but you have to move on with your day. And if I would have gotten a coffee at some point during the day, I'd overcome it. Meanwhile, Bob on Twitter is just like, oh, he's playing Batman from the Dark Knight graphic novel. Bigger, older, angry. How about dumber, quieter, and not able to actier?
We need to get Affleck on the show one day. See how that goes. Think he'll do it?
Rex Flack.
Say we got
Rex Flack. Rex Flack.
Joe Rex Flack.
Oh, God.
We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Teresa had to say there. Take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Basketball fans, celebrate the NBA's 75th anniversary season on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can place their first bet risk-free, and if you don't win, you'll get up to $1,000 back. So if you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. The money line, the over-under, the point spread, player point totals and rebounds, everything is on the table, and that's why I love betting with FanDuel Sportsbook. They've got great odds boost and specials, live betting on every game. So see for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up using promo code ROB to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 and make every moment more this NBA season. Once again, that promo code is ROB. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Tune in to the NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. The game this week on 102.5 The Game on Sunday between the Dallas Cowboys and the Kansas City Chiefs with a 3:25 p.m. kickoff. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Visit volstatebank.com to learn more about their free Kasasa checking account. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. And I will say, the mood has picked up significantly here in the room over the course of the last, 90 seconds or so. Rexroad and Michelle, coffee has arrived for the two of you. I'm very happy for you.
I mean, Michelle is absolutely the MVP of maybe of Nashville, if not the country. If not the world.
I think I was struggling the worst back here. I Uber Eats coffee and it just got here. And
there you go.
I brought in it with the little tray and I said, Joe, and his face lit up and I'm just so happy right now.
Joe, while he's in the midst of a Twitter battle on Ben Affleck, get some coffee to help fuel his fire a little bit.
Like I'll even stop yelling at Bob he said, stop it, you're embarrassing yourself about saying Affleck sucks, in general and also as Batman. And I said, no, actually, I'm bringing pride and respect to myself and my family. I can't possibly say enough bad things about Ben Affleck as Batman. It's life-giving, Bob. But you know what? I'm going to stop yelling at you because Michelle saved the day.
We got a lot of people on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, giving some love to the accountant with Ben Affleck in it and the town as well. So
I like
not the, everybody agreeing with you.
I like the town. But again, he's in a lot of pretty good movies. That's the thing. Like, he is in quite a few. Like, The Town is pretty good.
Armageddon? Put that one on the list.
Well, I wouldn't put that one.
Yeah, I like Armageddon.
Yeah, okay. That's fine.
Bruce Willis, saving the world.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
I think I fell asleep during that movie. But he's in some pretty good movies. It's just like you could find someone who would easily be better than him in any of those roles. So, like, but at least, like, as, like, the Boston guy in The Town and in Good Will Hunting, He's from Boston, so there's some authenticity to it. Maybe I'm just angry because Katie and I went to the theater to see Jersey Girl.
Yeah.
And that might be the worst movie ever made.
Well, I can't say I've seen that one. I think I'm going to hold that one off the list.
At the theater, opening night. Because, Kevin Smith made some good movies at one point in his life. Yeah. But anyway, no, Bob. Come on, man. But it's fine. Let's be friends. You can like Ben Affleck as Batman. We have coffee.
Taking your thoughts on the Titans at our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. What do you think of the Julio Jones question I've thrown out there? Do you have any confidence whatsoever that Julio Jones at some point going to be a major part of this offense? Obviously, he's going to be shut down until after the bye week. I think we've seen flashes, very limited flashes, of what he can still be when he's on the field. What's your confidence level in him that at some point he is going to be the player that the Titans traded for him to be this season and help them try to make a deep playoff run?
Well, I don't know how anybody could have very high confidence in that. But the good thing, I think I disagree with people who say like they haven't seen anything from him this year when he's played that would be encouraging. I mean, I strongly disagree with that. It's just that you haven't seen very much of it. You haven't seen enough of him. So I think this is the best route. I think it's worth trying this. Shut him down and just see if it works out. And certainly from his perspective, I mean, you're talking about, you know, when you're him looking at your career and where things are going, I mean, it's really important that you get back on the field and make a difference here down the stretch. And I think he wants to for this team too. But I can't say it's high. I can't say it's a high confidence level. It really is very much like, okay, believe it when I see it kind of thing at this point with him.
It is. I will say that the timing of this, I think, comes at a pretty decent time for the Titans in terms of, all right, he's on IR. He's going to be out until right after the bye week. You know, you would hope that a month off, basically, gives that hamstring some time to heal. The problem is, as you pointed out, he could be feeling great. He comes back for practice. Things go well. And, you know, it's going to be December. It's cold. One wrong move out there on the field, and you're back to having hamstring problems again. I mean, I don't know how at this point, given that it was a hamstring last year, it's been a hamstring all year this year that he's been battling through, how anyone could feel confident that all of a sudden the hamstring is just going to be ready to go and there's going to be no issues after this. I mean, it sounds like he healed up completely last year and he got back here this year and it's a hamstring again. So I don't have a ton of confidence in Julio Jones' hamstrings at the moment.
Yeah, you're right. The weather, maybe it'd be better for the Titans to like to get like a lower seed and have to go to like the, I don't know, not to LA. Well, the chart. Of course, that's,
you know,
that's,
if they're hosting here, you don't know what the temperature is going to be.
That's true. It could be okay.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, I mean, you have to. It's just like with Derrick Henry. Like, you have to try to get better at running the football. You've got to figure out who's going to run the football, and you need to be healthy up front. But I mean, you've got to work on that, and you got to try to, I think, lean in on Marcus Johnson in particular with this offense to be a more, you know, now can he be a consistent complement to A.J. Brown? Can he be an actual threat where now people are looking at film the Titans saying, okay, we gotta look at 88 here. We've got to account for him too. I mean, I think that would be a big deal for them. Because, you know, Chester Rogers and Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, those guys work hard and they're going to do their jobs. But either of those guys is really going to scare anybody. Marcus Johnson, based on what he did Sunday, like, you could see where there'd be a little bit of a scare factor with him. I mean, he can make big plays. So they've got to just cultivate what they have. And, of course, I can always bring it to the tight end and Anthony Firkser too. And I don't know how much, you know, faith I have that that's going to change, but it would sure be helpful.
Caleb texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Julio is a Hall of Fame receiver and definitely can be a factor. But right now it just feels like when the Titans picked up Randy Moss or Andre Johnson, who came here and their play just dropped off. This is coming from Caleb.
Okay, well, first of all, it's not like Andre Johnson. That was a guy who was clearly at the end, and he immediately came in. There was never an indication. He did have the winning touchdown catch in Detroit in 16. But, I mean, that was about it. Like, there was never – he was clearly at the end of his career. Like, Julio Jones in Seattle, I know it's been a while now, but that's not – a guy who's about to be like, you got to retire and hang it up. I mean, Julio Jones, even in LA a couple weeks ago with a couple catches he made to move the chains, like that's more impact than Andre Johnson made. And I would say the same thing with Randy Moss. I mean, well,
Andre Johnson had a great touchdown catch against the Lions. What are you talking
that's
about?
That's what I said.
Maybe the greatest throw of Marcus Mariota's career.
I just said
what a dime it was in traffic. What a catch.
It was.
What a throw.
It was a great throw. It was a game winner. And
does it happen against anybody else in the league? Against the Lions.
Yeah, the Lions weren't even like total dog water that year either.
They weren't cheeks.
They were not
cheeks.
They
were not. They were one cheek, maybe.
Yeah. Singular cheek.
Yeah. Single cheek, Lions. It's like single malt scotch.
That's right. Jonathan from Spring Hill texting in. If the Titans win the next two, do you bring Julio back after the bye week or still hold him out a little bit longer?
No, I think you try to. I mean, I think what seems to happen here is that is that he gets out there and it's like, okay, he's fine. He's playing. That's the problem with hamstrings. I mean, you really have to like you have to just base it off whether it happens or not. You know what I mean? Like, okay, he's able to fully stretch. He's got full range of motion. He's got full speed. Why would you? I'm sure he'll be in that position that week. I would play him at that point because, I mean, I've heard that let's just sit him out till January. I don't think that's a good idea. For one, because, I mean, really, the one primary reason, like, he still needs to, like, build chemistry with Tannehill and be part of the offense, and you got to be ready to go. So,
so you're fighting for a one seed. Like, you need every.
And you're trying to win these games, right? And he should be a part of that. So, I think it's a worthwhile attempt here to just cool it down for a few weeks, let him rest, not worry about it. And then, but that would be when I would, as long as there's no setbacks, I would bring him back that very next week. And who do they play after? Is it the Jags?
I think it is, yeah.
I mean, I guess you could look at that game too and say, well, how about one more week? But I think if all looks good at that point, then I think you bring him back and you hope that you all of a sudden have a good, 6 weeks of Julio Jones.
Well, I have no problem with the Titans being overcautious with him. I guess my question would be is, have we already seen the Titans? Like, is the move to put him on IR, is that the overcautious move of, all right, let's shut this thing down for 3 weeks, let's get the bye week tossed in there too, and let's see where you're at? Because, obviously we saw the video that TD had up there. It looked like he re-aggravated the hamstring. Was it so severe in the re-aggravation that they're just like, all right, 3 weeks, it's going to be what it is? Or is it the same thing that he's been doing all season long and they just finally said, you know what, enough's enough, let's give him some time? Because if this is what it is and it's been the same thing he's been dealing with all season long, you give him 4 weeks of just not doing anything. I mean, I don't know how much longer you can really give him at that point to see whether or not it's ready to go. You got to test it out at some point.
Yeah, it's a good question because I think I've been totally presuming it's the latter, that basically it's like, okay, this isn't working, let's try this. You're right, though. I mean, this could be a more significant situation that they've been forced to put him on IR. I don't think that's what it is, but it's possible.
Sandy from Sparta texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie, I was driving when you committed the blasphemy of saying that Ashton Kutcher isn't good in a serious role. He killed it in The Guardian. Guardian is a good movie.
A lot of people are tweeting about The Guardian. I have not seen The Guardian.
You haven't seen it? It's good.
No.
Yeah, okay, good. You haven't seen it?
Uh-oh.
Whoa, Joe.
There's a movie I haven't seen.
Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, but, okay.
But I meant, like, Joe always knows all the movies, but this is one that he doesn't.
But not, yeah, but
like, yes, I haven't seen it, so I guess.
But newer movies are not as, it's a little more hit and miss.
Look, I'm not saying that Ashton
Kutcher,
I really
thought you had one on me there,
does not have like the actual capability of playing a serious role. I'm just saying that I can't watch him in one. Like, every time I watch him, I either think of The Ranch or of That 70s Show. Neither one, not very serious.
I mean, I'm willing to give it a try. I'm more confident in him being good in a serious role than Ben Affleck doing anything worth a damn.
We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from Rock Bottom Brewery on Broadway this Sunday. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Mark Howard, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. You can join them from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. live at Rock Bottom Brewery on Broadway prior to the Titans taking on the Houston Texans. The NFL pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parma Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Lots of Ashton Kutcher love on the text line right now.
Really?
Kyle texting in said, y'all were vibing, now you're cheeking. This is coming from Kyle on the text line.
Referring to what?
I guess, are we overusing the cheeks?
I don't know, but tell you what, Kyle. We are vibing because this coffee is freaking amazing. I need your Venmo because we are. I mean, I can't believe you Uber Eats coffee.
I had to. Brilliant. I was in flight or
seriously, how much did that cost?
Yeah, I might need to go
you
therapy.
Can say it. You can say it on the air.
It was $20.
Just paid $20 for two coffees.
Jeez. I had to.
Oh boy.
Yeah,
I had to. I did priority too, so it would get here faster.
Uber Eats priority coffee.
Oh boy.
Hey, desperate times. Yes, you got to give us your Venmo.
Chris on the text line. You know, like the meme that's out there of the guy holding hands with his girlfriend and checking out the girl that's walking the other way? That's all over the place?
Yes. And by the way, before you say this, because it made me howl out loud during the break, is that the same woman? You know what I mean? Like it looks like I've always thought with that
they're
meme.
Different.
Are they?
Yeah.
They look like, you know the meme, right?
I know the meme.
They look like they're twins.
They look similar, but they're different.
Okay. Anyway.
Well, it's got Joe in this photo holding hands with Nick Westbrook Akina and then just looking at Marcus Johnson as he's walking the other way now. So is Marcus Johnson your new favorite Titans wide receiver?
I guess so. You know, Marcus Johnson, by the way, was in that original story way back when.
He was.
People still talk about it. So I'm just saying.
Hey, who made the meme? It's your face?
No, it's just, you know that meme, though. It's like the boyfriend and the girlfriend are walking. And then, but the boyfriend has his head turned, looking at the other girl walking the other way. You know,
I know
it's
meme,
all over the place.
But I thought they put your face. I thought they put the faces on.
Just Rex Road.
No,
holding
just,
hands
just put the words.
It's friend of the show, Nick Westbrook Akina. Also friend of the show, Marcus Johnson too.
It's it's like a 80s sitcom. You go to the dance with two people, and you go to this room, and then you go to the other room, and you're trying to keep them both happy.
Nick Westbrook Akina, I'm sure appreciates all of it.
Yeah. Coffee is good.
Heidi from Dixon texting in. Vrabel could be an amazing William Wallace in Braveheart. What do you think of that?
Freedom!
Vrabel in Braveheart. Get out of here, Mel Gibson.
I mean, Vrabel could definitely be in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Bludgeoning people.
He'd be just fine on the battlefield.
Well, there's one. Michelle, Braveheart?
See, okay. So
that's a no.
So just say no. It's fine.
I'm not really good at movie titles, but I could have seen maybe a little part of it.
Well, it's been on it's on TV every 6 minutes.
Mel Gibson is William Wallace. It's like true story, Scotland back in the day.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, when that movie came out, violence had never been seen like that.
Yeah.
Remember you're like, oh my God.
Well, I was like four when it came out, but I've seen it since then.
Fair. Yeah. Okay. Coffee's good.
Get back to the coffee. How encouraged are you by what Marcus Johnson did on Sunday? You've talked about him for a long time. Obviously, as Paul Kaharsky said yesterday, very impressive training camp for Marcus Johnson. 5 catches, 100 yards on Sunday. They need a number two option. We know this. A.J. Brown is going to get a lot of attention now with Derrick Henry out. The tight ends, as much as they've been able to get some production out of Jeff Swaim as of late, and Michael Pruitt has made some big catches on the goal line, you're still talking about 4 catches for 26 yards from Swaim, 1 catch for 2 yards for Ferkser, and 1 catch for 2 yards for Pruitt. So 30 total yards there of offense from your tight ends. That's not a whole lot. You need a number two threat. Is Marcus Johnson that number two threat for this Titans offense?
I don't know that I'm ready to just proclaim that at this point, but I think he's the best bet for that. I mean, it may end up being more, and honestly, it's probably more of a week-to-week cobbling together here and there. Someone rises his fault. Someone else does a little bit more. You know, maybe there's one week where, the swing pass to McNichols gets you, 50 yards on 6 catches or something, but I think over the next few weeks that Marcus Johnson should be second to A.J. Brown in receiving yards. That'd be my prediction right now, that A.J. Brown will lead this team in receiving yards. I think they'll get him back going, and that Marcus Johnson will be second. And that if that is the case, his emergence in doing that will help them and maybe even help A.J. Brown a little bit.
Well, I mean, look, it's obvious based on the way the Saints covered him. I mean, A.J. Brown going to get a lot of attention. Now, again, in this game coming up on Sunday, it shouldn't matter a whole lot because they just don't have people that can cover. I mean, that Texans defense is atrocious. I mean, A.J. Brown should be a big factor in this game coming up on Sunday. But as you move ahead, especially when you get to the New England game And Belichick's looking at this Titans offense, and they say, all right, we know without Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown's the guy you got to stop. You have to have somebody else be able to step up in that situation. That's why it would be real nice to have Julio Jones, because even without Derrick Henry, you still feel pretty good with a healthy Julio Jones out there too. So, I mean, this is going to be something on a weekly basis that Todd Downing and this Titans offense, they got to get figured out, because what you can't continue to have happen is A.J. Brown just get shut down and expect that you're going to win all these games. It happened for you on Sunday. It's probably not a winning formula moving forward.
No, I agree. And look, I mean, the prediction I just made, maybe I'm off on that. Maybe I'm being too optimistic that teams won't be able to take him out. I mean, it's interesting, too, when you mentioned Belichick, last time they faced him, and he basically said, I'm not going to let, you know, A.J. Brown and Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith beat me.
Yep.
I mean, they had two high safeties most of the night, and, I mean, shoot, they still almost won, but Derrick Henry dominated that game. I mean, Belichick, of course, is very well known for his philosophy of just you're going to take the best thing away, and then if other people beat us, well, then he's going to take A.J. Brown away.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our buddy Ron texting in, the best acquired wide receiver ever in Titans history is Nate Washington, hands down. The best acquired wide receiver ever in Titans history.
Okay.
I'd have to think about that.
So the best non-drafted.
Yeah.
Is what that person's saying.
Yep.
In Titans history. Okay. I'm trying to think of who else would be in the conversation there.
It's a great question. Wide receiver has been rough here for a long time.
They've struggled. I mean, Rashard Matthews had a good year.
I mean, it probably is Nate Washington.
So there you go. So it's now here's the
Yancey thinkpin.
Well, now here's the question. If Julio Jones, you know, look, his numbers are not going to be good. Like when people look at Julio Jones' career as he goes in the Hall of Fame and people, you know, a kid looks at his career box score, they mean, oh, gosh, he only had like 500 yards receiving with the Titans or whatever he ends up with. But if he does come back and he does make a big difference, and that's part of a playoff run, does that make him number one?
Hey, could be. Could be Super Bowl MVP Julio Jones.
Well, then I would say yes if that's the case.
Dennis on the text line says Drew Bennett was not drafted. He was not, but he did begin his career with the Titans. So I guess that we would need to dig into what Ron means by acquired.
Yeah, I guess I would assume it would mean he was on another team. This is someone who was on another team first.
Yeah.
Right? Would probably be what that means.
Eric Decker.
There you go. Winning touchdown catch at Kansas City from Marcus Mariota.
That's right. Jim on the text line. I can see Vrabel and Braveheart right now. We have to fight better.
Be Vrabel. We got to kill better, got to maim better. Got to decapitate better. Got to cut jugular better.
Join 102.5 The Game this Saturday night for the Bud Light Preds watch party at Headquarters Beercade. There will be great drink specials. You can enter to win Preds tickets to an upcoming home game and watch the Preds take on the Montreal Canadiens. So join us this Saturday night at Headquarters Beercade, located at 114 2nd Avenue South downtown. The puck drops at 6 o'clock. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We'll be joined coming up in about 12 minutes by Predators captain Roman Josi. Looking forward to that conversation here in just a few minutes. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Got a text that says, Vrabel. You can even change the name of the movie.
Nice.
You know, that now that that's been brought up, I can picture Mike Vrabel and Braveheart pretty easily. They could be a pretty good fit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Way to go, Heidi.
By the way, apparently Mel Gibson is making like Lethal Weapon 9 also. So thank goodness we needed another one of those.
Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says Delanie Walker was basically a wide receiver. He does not count. as the wide receiver brought in.
Nope. Very good tight end.
Very good tight end.
Available.
Still available. We've not gotten any of the Titans should go sign Delanie Walker text in a while.
No.
That was we went through quite a run of those to begin the season.
We did. Jarrell Casey, though, recently.
We did get a Jarrell Casey.
Suggested.
I'm just gonna guess that's probably not on the cards. Although, I mean, they brought back Avery Williamson and Deontay Foreman this year. So former Titans coming back in.
What's crazy, it is crazy that Deontay Foreman is 25.
Yeah.
Maybe this will, like,
catapult him?
Well, yeah, let him, stick in the league, if he plays well down the stretch here.
Well, to your point, like, the more I watch him run, the more I think to myself, all right, I mean, he's an NFL running back. Like, he's able to play in this league. Now, do I think Deontay Foreman is a starting running back in the NFL? No, I don't. But you're telling me he can't find a role somewhere? Like, why was he out on the street and available at 25 years old?
And I tried to ask him that last week, and everybody jumped all over me. So I don't know.
I know.
But this is his opportunity. I think we're moving toward him getting a clear bulk of the carries. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I think is going to happen.
If they can't run the ball effectively this week against the Texans and that defense, what's your concern level at that point about the running game as they move forward? Because you would think, if there's a week where they should be able to run the ball, even without Derrick Henry, it would be this one going up against Houston.
Well, the concern level, if they have everybody available on the offensive line and they've got those guys going and they can't do anything against the Texans, yeah, that's concerning. This is a game that you'd – because that's, I think, a very fair way to look at the last two games. The first two games without Derrick Henry is who they played. Not the ideal way to try out a new run game against the Rams and Saints fronts. Yeah, this week you got to be able to run for 100 yards as a team Sunday. It's not some crazy big number, but you got to run for 100 yards. And if you do that, then you should be in good shape.
What have you thought of Adrian Peterson so far? And I guess as they move forward here with him, what do you need to see in order for him to continue to get carries, quite frankly, to continue to hang around with this group?
Yeah, he did have a very good run late Sunday. They brought him in, and I was surprised that he actually got the series he got after the way Foreman had been running, but they gave him that series, and he had two straight runs for like 11 yards. And the second of them was a really nice cut in the outside zone, and a really good little cutback and eluded a guy and got 6 yards. And it's just there. I mean, there hasn't been much. I can't sit here and say we've seen so much of Peterson now that there's just no way that he's going to be able to help or make a difference. I thought in the first game he looked like over eager, maybe, and to his point, and as his kid actually even pointed out to him, like he was running very high. He wasn't running, as coaches like to say, he wasn't running behind his pads.
That's what Collinsworth was saying on the broadcast against LA that night.
Running too high.
Yeah.
I didn't think it looked a lot different last week. It's still – jury's still out. I mean, look, both of those guys could have some success Sunday, and that would be the best-case scenario, is that you keep them both engaged and you can have a nice, complementary situation with them. So I'm not out on Peterson making some kind of a difference for this team, but I definitely think that Foreman has been the better of the two. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, they need to pull out the Madden game playbook and start getting more creative with some passes. They do too many dink and dunk passes. Tannehill should have 300-plus yards in this game.
Well, first of all, the downfield stuff was really off the table against the Rams because of their pass rush and your protection.
Yep.
And last week, the Saints, I think, only had – did they have two or three sacks? But they – It was again, protection was at times an issue. So that limits your playbook. If you want to talk about creative passes, we were just talking about Deontay Foreman. That was a great little throwback. That's a dink and dunk, technically, but that was a really nicely designed play, taking advantage of the fact that defenses are going to be watching number 11. Wherever he is, they're going to be watching him. And Todd Downing used that to his advantage, got a little throwback to Foreman on a screen, and he showed really good burst there.
They did the reverse kind of flip back to Tannehill for like 16 yards, too.
That's right. They did do that, yeah. Didn't they? So they tried some stuff. I mean, look, if you can set up, I mean, against this team, can you feel good dropping back, you know, seven-step drops and having a nice clean pocket and taking some shots? Yeah, you would hope so. So, I mean, Tannehill throwing for 300 yards, I think that's definitely on the table. The Titans could have a big day against this team. I mean, if you're going to have a big day offensively without Derrick Henry, what better team to have it against, or what easier team than the Texans? Because the Jaguars are like, I mean, they're actually
defensive
turning
juggernaut.
Into an okay defense.
Held Buffalo to seven.
Six.
Six, excuse me, yes.
Josh Allen.
Don't want to give him too much credit.
The Kentucky Josh Allen, yes.
Yeah.
So they're not cheeks. Houston is. So if you're going to pad some stats, this is your week. This and the finale, which of course could be completely meaningless. What if the Titans have the one seed wrapped up before they even have to play that game?
That would be nice.
I'm taking a lot of leaps here.
Yeah,
when
you
I'm
are.
Talking about that.
God bless David Culley for having to deal with what he's dealing with in Houston right now.
Vanderbilt legend.
That's right. I got a texter that says Vrabel should paint his face for the game this Sunday. People are all in on the Vrabel Braveheart.
Braveheart.
Imagine Vrabel coming out there in a kilt, with his face painted. Hey,
swinging,
talk about inspiring.
Swinging a big axe. That's a great name flip around.
It
just,
is.
Just switch Braveheart to Vrabart.
Joe, you could ask him today.
Yeah.
How
he responds to that one.
I don't want to get in the way of like Kaharski. Mike, isn't it ironic that you know.
Play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win tickets to an upcoming sporting event or concert. Go to GameNashville.com for more details and to play. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. When we come back, we'll be joined by Predators captain Roman Josi. That's up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.